Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. We ask that you would give us wisdom and revelation concerning your word, that you would help us to understand, that we would be receivers of your word. I ask, Father, that you would make my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, speaking forth the oracles or the word of God to be engrafted into people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been talking recently about, it's a series I called Short-Sighted. And then last Saturday, we were talking about how God has written his law in our hearts and how he's given us his spirit. And his spirit is a seal. And then last week, we talked about prophecy from the Old Testament concerning Jesus as the Messiah. And that we've been, in short-sighted, we talked that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So today, we're going to talk about adoption. Adoption. Right? Anybody familiar with adoption? I know. Anybody ever been adopted? I know we've got several people that are adopted, people that have adopted. We have some very good pastor friends. Actually two different pastor friends. Both of these couples couldn't have children, and so they adopted. One couple adopted their first son, and they did an open adoption. Their second son, they did a closed adoption, because they found out they didn't necessarily care for the open adoption. What happens when a person is adopted is that they leave their family of birth, and they join another family. And then they take on the life that that family has. They take on the inheritance. They take on the things that that family celebrates. They're not celebrating, you know, their biological parents' birthdays. They're celebrating their parents' birthdays. When a child is adopted, I understand that when you adopt a child, it is easier to get rid of your own children than it is to get rid of an adopted child, because you've gone through a very lengthy legal process. Jesus went through a very lengthy legal process to adopt us into his family. The legal process lasted thousands of years and has been in place now for 2,000 years. It's a lengthy process. So, has anybody ever spent hours and hours preparing for something, and then at the last minute, you just wake up and God says, take this direction instead? Well, I have some wonderful notes. Hours of wonderful notes that I prepared yesterday, but we're not going to use them. If you would please. Hours and hours. I was tucked away. Open your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. You know, someone might say, well, maybe you should be listening to God closer. You know what? Probably. You know what I'm saying? We could all be listening to God closer, right? You know, sometimes we get something just planted in our head and we think that this is the way to go. And then after you get some sleep, you realize that wasn't the way to go. It's still the same thing, but this is a little bit different direction. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 29. Everybody there? All right. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, faith kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Now, we talked about the law being a tutor. When you go to school and you graduate, do you just forget everything the tutor taught you? No. Then what would have been the point to go to school, right? None, right? There'd be no point. Okay? Tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. One thing that the law, we've talked about this, could never do, it could never justify us. I always like to think that the law is similar to like a guardrail. What I like to think of it is it kept me from falling off into deep sin and forgetting about God altogether. And so what the law did was it has done that for us, okay? But after faith has come, we're no longer under the tutor. You've graduated, honey. Dave was telling me that Julie graduates from college next weekend. She's done. She's, right? I'm sure that's what Dave is thinking too. It's like, she was just this big yesterday. But she, you know, you've graduated when faith has come. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all... Let me put these back on. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians chapter 3 refers to the blessing being given to the seed of Abraham. Who is the seed of Abraham? Is it seed or seeds? Seed. It is the seed. The blessing was given to the seed of Abraham, the son of promise. Who was the son of promise? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was Isaac. Isaac is the son of promise. Abraham and Sarah went many, many years unable to produce an heir. But God had told Abraham, be faithful, trust me, and you're going to have a son of promise. This is Isaac, in whom all the families of Israel received the blessing. Now, here's the thing. It's not the natural seed of Abraham that are the true heirs according to the promise. It is the heirs of faith. It is the seed who is Jesus. Jesus is the seed. Okay. Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapters 8 and 9. Romans chapter 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, so when you were born, when we were born, we were all born under Adam and Eve, under the sin that they committed. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Everybody knows the story. They ate the fruit, and most pictures show that it's an apple. I contest that it doesn't really matter what the fruit was. Because the whole purpose was not to eat it. Because in the day that you do, in that day you will die. Okay? So Adam tells what we learn through reading, and there's so much material, okay? If you read through the book of Romans, what you find out is that there's a first Adam and a second Adam. Okay? And we've been through a lot of this study over the last month or so, talking about short-sighted and how all of this stuff works together, okay? Adam is the first Adam, but he sinned. He committed what some people call high treason against God because he deliberately did what he was told not to do. You know, like when you're children and you say, don't touch that, and they just keep reaching their hand closer. I said, don't you touch it. I've got a belt. I'm not going to touch it. I was just looking. With your fingers? No, you're not looking with your fingers. You're touching with your fingers, right? It's born into every single one of us to be disobedient like that. Because we're members of the family of Adam. We're born in darkness. Paul writes in Colossians, he says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Okay? Adam's family, everybody under Adam now falls under this curse. Throughout that time, though, God finds men who are obedient. Okay? He finds Noah. Right? Noah builds an ark, does what he's supposed to do, right? It says about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was no more. Right? I mean, he's just taken away. Like, I feel like Peter Pan. You're like, he's walking with God and then he just was no more. God called him up. Right? Noah builds an ark. Abraham moves to a place. He says, I don't know where we're going, but wherever you go, I'm going. Right? So he follows him. He's a man of faith. Noah's a man of faith. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When we talk about the times of God, his appointed times, and we talk about the feasts of God, and people are kind of familiar that God gave Israel feasts. And what that means in feasts in the Hebrew is the word moedim, which means appointed times. So, you know, we have an appointed time every Sunday morning at 10:30 for church to start. Right? It's the same kind of thing. You have a doctor's appointment. If you're living in the land of Israel, you say, I have a moedim with my chiropractor. Right? It's an appointment. These are appointed times. During the time of Passover, there's Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Jesus rose literally on the feast day of first fruits. He's the first. He's the first fruits born from the grave. He's the firstborn of many brethren. We once were of the family of Adam, confined to sin. Jesus even says in John chapter 8, verses 41 through 44, he refers to people being of their father, the devil. Right? So our family that we were a part of before we were adopted was the family of Satan, following the lusts of the flesh, doing whatever seemed right in our own eyes. That's what God says through Moses about Noah, that everybody was doing what just seemed right in their own eyes, just living however they wanted. But we have been predestined. Not that God knows and has decided who's getting saved, but those who are born again, who are born of the seed, are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We're destined to be like him. He's the firstborn, it says, of many brethren. Ladies, don't feel bad. It's just, you know, in Mexican culture, if there's a 100 women and one man, it's a group of men. Did you know that? It changes the whole dynamic. You take out that one man, it's a whole bunch of women. Add the man, it's a whole bunch of men. Brethren, just concerning the calling that we have together in him, is that we're all brothers. We're the brethren. We're the church. Romans 9:8 says that those who are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Jesus is the seed that the promise was given to. The promised son. In Genesis 3, God says that even though he says to the serpent, you're going to crush his heel, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to take away the power that you've stolen from my man right now. When my second one comes, when my chosen one comes, he's going to crush your head. The head is where the power and the authority are. He crushed the head of Satan. He crushed the head of authority in him. And now we are together with Jesus. We're the seed. We're the body, right? How many have heard in Paul's talking, he refers to the church as being the body. Are we all eyes? No. Are we all hands? No. Each one has a different function. Each one has a different part. We're not all the same. Aren't you happy? You don't have to be me. Right? You don't have to be me. It's not your calling to be me, necessarily. Now, there might be people out there that are called to be pastors that are goofy. I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay, let's go back to Galatians. God bless you. I love you too, Jolene. You're so sweet. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. I know I'm pushing through a lot of this so quick. Is it okay? If you have questions, you know you can always email me or call me or come by and ask if you've got questions. Starting in verse 10 of chapter 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. The just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus, who obeyed the law of God perfectly, who never sinned a day in his life, and we just celebrated this last week, died for us. He took the curse on him. Our curse that we had on us as being sons of Adam and Eve, of being the sons of the devil living on the earth, following our flesh and doing just whatever seemed right to us. He took that curse as the seed. When we follow him by faith, we receive him having taken the curse for us. So I don't have to be under the curse anymore. I can be under the life now. I can be under the blessing now. I'm counted as his seed with him. See, the Bible says to seed, not as seeds of many, but as one seed. Together, we are one body in Christ. We have been adopted out of the world and into him. I'm no longer, and see, this is why, you know, people say, well, why do Christians seem so different? Because we are. We've been adopted out of the world. And even though we're in the world, we're not of the world anymore. We've been adopted by our Heavenly Father. We have a whole new culture. Listen, now, instead of just fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, gentleness, joy, kindness, forgiveness, right? Against such there is no law. We're walking in accordance with our Father. We're taking on his nature. We're becoming like him instead of being, yeah, I still have the same dingy personality I've always had. I get it. I'm a goofball. I am? I'm the guy who goes in when Kathy's in the shower and I turn off the light and run. Okay? You do that too? Or you get it done to you? You get it done to you? No, you're the doer? Oh, come on, I knew there was a reason I liked you, Michael. That's me, I'm that person. I walk up behind you when you're bent over and I smack your bottom. And I move on. I'm a goofball. Okay? I'm a goofball. I get it from my mom. I get that, okay? When Faith was little, you know what she liked to do? My dad had this pantry at his house. It was this, you know, big pantry that you could walk into. And you'd go in there, and she would go, and she would turn off the light and shut the door and run. Where does she get that from? I tell you. Uh-huh. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham, what was the blessing? Let's go back and look. I will make a great nation of you. Is the church a great nation? Is it spread throughout the entire world? Oh, come on. It's an eternal living city. It's an eternal living community, isn't it? I will bless you and make your name great. Is the name of the church great? Are there people who are looking to cast it out and get rid of it? Oh, come on. Come on. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How is it that in him, all the families of the earth are blessed? Because no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your parents were like, no matter how you were treated or mistreated growing up, you can get out from underneath that. And you can become a part of his family. You can have that good, good father. He just loves you. He's all about love. He loves. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, I am not always been, but I will always be. Even when you're not in Christ, you have not always been, but you will always be. And everybody has a destiny of one or of two places. We're either going to hell, which was not meant for us, or we're going to spend eternity with God. Come on, eternity with God. All we have to do is just accept him, right? We just have to follow him, get into his word, start understanding what it's like to be in his family. What does he celebrate? Come on. His everything about him is a culture of life. Everything he does is so he can give life and that more abundantly. Come on. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give life and that more abundantly. When you're a member of the family, you're a member of life. You've got life flowing in you. Ephesians chapter 1. Man, we're going through this really quick. But I've got a reason. I've got a purpose. A good purpose. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Places is actually a word put in there to help translate. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, not that some people are destined and some people aren't, but those that are in him are predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You have been adopted and predestined to become holy. We're predestined with an image. We're predestined by him to be his children. You're accepted. Maybe you didn't feel accepted in your earthly family. Maybe you still don't. Maybe you just be the black sheep, honey, all your life with your natural family. But in him, you're accepted in him. He loves me just the way I am. All my weirdness and eccentricities and all the things I enjoy doing. He just loves me. He does. He just loves Faith. You know what she said? We were talking. I was sometimes, because I get carried away, and she has this laugh that's a lot like my mom's. And I say, come on, honey, get it started. Get the engine going. And she says, you know what, Daddy? Someday, God has a man for me that I'm going to marry, and he's going to love me, and he's going to love my laugh. I said, I love you. I love your laugh. Yep. Who says stuff like that? Someone who knows who they are in Christ. Someone who knows that they're loved. You can do that when you know you're loved. When you know that God loves you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. People can have all kinds of opinions about you. They can go on hunts to try to get rid of you, huh? Do they do that? Yeah, they do. They try to silence you. They try to make you quit. They try to put a hindrance in your life. Okay, so we're going to stop here right about now.